All right, let's turn our Bibles this morning. We're going to start in Romans chapter 15. Several scriptures we'll read, but we'll start in Romans chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. All right. You know, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so, to not overcomplicate it, that if there's a lot of destruction and falling that we're going through, then pride is ought to be the first thing we look at to see if that's the reason why or not. You know, I don't like working on cars, but troubleshooting is how you start, figuring out what's wrong. And you can do like me and shotgun parts at it until you figure out which one it was that, oh, it was that one. Usually it's after I've spent about $1,000 on sensors and parts and I finally accidentally find it. But it's not left up to chance like that with things of God like this. I mean, something like that can be discernible pretty quick if we'll be willing to look at it that way. You've heard me say it a lot of times, if we'll just be honest with ourselves. I think right there is where that's the end of most people's, you know, soul searching, is when you have to be honest with yourself and you don't want to. Because if you're honest, you're the one that's the problem. Yeah. And I ain't going to, you know, my pride. Now it's a matter of my pride, an issue of my pride, and I'm not doing that because there's too many other moving parts in this and too many other players, and it's their fault too, and I'm not going to just be the one that takes all the blame here. Yeah. And so that's as far as it goes. And problems never get solved. A lot of falling, a lot of destruction, and we just refuse to investigate it any further. I want to talk about something this morning that has sort of kind of to do with that. I mean, it's affected by it, but I want to talk about our need for each other. And a lot of times, I say this too, it seems like what I'm talking about is very elementary. But the devil's biggest thing is to take something simple and make it real confusing by overcomplicating it. And then we don't do what we were supposed to do in the first place, this simple thing, because we've overcomplicated it. We've let it become so overcomplicated and confusing that we just don't really know what to do, which way to go. And in our indecision, we don't do anything. And then time marches on, life marches on, kids grow up, things progress. And before when you finally come to your senses, you've got a humongous mess and there's no way to fix it. So, I don't know. I don't want to stress that this is just a really easy, simple thing, but at the same time, it kind of is. And we're just getting back to basics of things is more important than trying to, you know, how are you going to get deeper into the Word if you don't understand and practice the simple things? Mm-hmm. You know, we need each other. Yep. This is something that, you know, we're singing anniversary song, happy anniversary and all this stuff. And the longer you're together, everybody talks about how, you know, you finish each other's thoughts and all this kind of stuff. Well, I'd like to talk about the other side of that coin for just a minute, because it ain't always like that. You know, when her and I first got married, you know, I tell my kids, you know, when you first get married, the first year or two, the hardships you face are going to be just getting used to living with somebody who's not your family. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you know them and you love them and they complete you and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, they
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, lots of blah, blah, blah. But they're not your family. Mm-hmm. Now they are now. It's time for them to become your family. But you don't, it's you've lived your whole entire life, you know, reacting to the emotions and the chemistry of another family. And now you're not part of that family anymore either. You're another thing. It's a new thing. And so getting used to being with each other and that's the complicated part. And yeah, you'll argue and you'll bicker about some stuff or whatever, but overall, the general sense is that we'll get along. It's okay. Well, you know, love conquers all, right? Fast forward. No, that's right, Jacob. No. Fast forward 20 years. And you know, there's things that you compromise on because, like, okay, this is an annoying habit that I have, and it annoys her, and I'm going to quit it because I love her, and I don't want to annoy her all the time. I don't want to push that button every single day. And she does the same thing. But then there's some things that you just quietly endure. And you just don't let on that it bugs you because you love them. You don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, if you do that long enough, you will convince yourself you've put up with it long enough. And that's an end for the devil, I'm telling you. Because you'll start to justify your intolerance of them. Like, it'll be just like, I'm not putting up with that anymore. You know, she'll start in, I'm out. I'm just walk out the door and leave. You've seen people just go get in their car and leave and take a ride. It'll be waiting for you when you come home, that same problem. It'll be bigger now. Now you have, you know, threefold the problem to deal with. That's not how to solve problems, just to walk away. Not always. Maybe sometimes it is, to if you're part of the problem. But, you know, you'll get to feeling like you don't need each other like you used to feel like you needed each other. But that's not true. But you'll get to justifying all these things in your mind that way. Let's read chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 of Romans. Okay, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. I'm going to talk about the strong and the weak this morning. Now, something that we people are very bad about, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in a church, whether it's in dealing with the world, whether it's with our children, other people's children, we, our tendency, the knee-jerk reaction that we have always is we sort people out like a coin sorter. You've heard me say this before. We have these predetermined, it's kind of like the dry erase board I'm talking about making, where there's a column for us and a column for them, and we switch it all around to find it. Well, in our mind, it's like that's how we do with people. We have columns of identifications. Yes, there has to be a, you know, discernment about who you fellowship with and that kind of thing, and who you are yoked with and all that. But we do it to the extreme, to the point where we categorize people so that we know, it's like we keep them right where we want them. We know how we're always going to have to deal with them or not, based on how we have categorized them. And people have read these verses so many times about the strong helping the weak, and you immediately say, okay, well, there's two kinds of people, strong people, weak people. Well, that's just one facet of the stone, so to speak. That is true. There are people who are stronger than other people. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, wanting to go on this trip, but they felt like they needed to take a man with them as two ladies. She said, I don't think ladies ought to be traveling by themselves that way, because there's just things men can do that women can't. I said, yeah, that's true. On the other side of that coin, there's things women can do that men cannot. And, you know, that's a fact. That's a fact. There's things that God appointed me as the man in our home, in our family, that are my responsibility, they're my duty. And I'm the only guy that can kind of do it. You know, it falls square on my shoulders. Same for her as the mother and the wife. And then there's shared responsibilities that we can, you know, do for each other, carry each other's burdens. But there are strong and there are weak. But there's not just a camp of strong people and a camp of weak people. Because there's strong people that are also very weak too. And there are people that are deemed as weak people, but that are very strong in other things. And, you know, like I said about the devil wanting to cause confusion, he also likes to cause division. And anything that separates people into herds, so to speak, or camps or cliques or whatever you want to call them, I don't really think that's of God, especially within the church. Because we all, it's like the lesson I talked about here a few weeks ago about John talking to the angel, and he fell down to worship at the angel's feet, and the angel said, get up, don't do that, worship God. I'm just like you. I am a fellow servant. All this, I mean, an angel of God said that to him. I mean, he viewed himself as, you know, we're of the same cloth here. You know, I'm not above you. in any way. I'm the same. We're the same. We worship God. And it's the same way with the church as far as strong versus weak. Now, there's got to be discernment, of course. I mean, I don't tell Madeline to go get the truck and go get hooked up to the trailer so we can load the mower and stuff. That would be foolish because she's not strong in that area. She wouldn't even have the first clue of how to do it. But I can tell Wyatt to, and he can pretty much do it. You know, I can. There's discernment. I'll discern that my son can do it because he has more knowledge about it than Maddie. She's weak in that area. So we wouldn't want to put people that are weak, that didn't have the ability or the gifts to be able to do a certain thing, to doing that. You know, we wouldn't have them driving the bus if they couldn't reach the pedals. You know, it's just one of them things. But we're so prone to take and say, well, I identify as a strong person. I know that I am strong in this matter. And it's not a team strong and a team weak, okay? The strong's responsibility isn't to change weak people into strong people. You ever think about that? I mean, the weak have a responsibility to not remain so as well. This is achievable through the power of the Holy Spirit and the help of the strong. But a lot of times, strong people are self-appointed strong people that are going to fix this thing. And, you know, I know how to do this and this and this, and I know more about this and this and this, and I'm a little bit older than this and this, and so y'all just need to get in line behind me. And if you'll do everything I say, then it'll all work out, okay? And if it don't, it's because you didn't do what I said. Well, yeah. You can't be that way. Now, God appoints leadership. I'm not negating that at all. And we are to submit to the authority and the ones put in rule over us in that in these matters. But if those people are what they're supposed to be with God, they'll look at you and say, look, I need you just as much as you need me. Are there things that I'm stronger in than her? Yes. Are there things she's stronger in than me? Yes. Are there things that I'm weak in that I need her help with? Absolutely. And it's not cooking hamburgers. I'm talking spiritual matters. There's times when I am being, you know, tormented by the devil. And she'll just say, hey, you know what I read this morning? It'll be completely arbitrary. I'm not talking about nothing. And she'll say, listen to this. I needed this morning. And she'll read me a verse. And it's literally just like, right what I needed. And that's God working in our home, in our relationship. But where I'm weak, she's strong. Is it always that way? No, not even in that matter. Because there's times when I do the same thing. You know, that's bearing one another's burdens isn't just me telling you all my problems and you caring. Yeah. Or vice versa. You know, God inspires you to be strength for other people. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's divine. And I don't know how to explain this without trying to sound like I'm not trying to, like, deify myself in some way. No, I want to be used of God. And I want Him to be the hub of our home. And I want there to be a good, godly relationship between me and my wife. And so if I'll submit myself to His authority and do what He says, He'll work in our home in these ways. And I see it happen sometimes. And honestly, we're the regulator of how much or how little based on our submission to His way. But it's really sweet. You know, we talk about this sometimes about you know, getting up and teaching Sunday school and it literally lining up just like a relay race, handing off the baton to the next guy getting up, and it goes right along hand in hand with what he's fixing to preach. And I had no idea, or vice versa. I've seen it with you and your Sunday school lessons, and then he gets up and preaches, and I'm like, we've literally been in the same scripture before, the same chapter of the Bible. We didn't talk about it. It's just that's the Lord working in everybody's heart. And is He always strong? No. But that's why He gave us each other, see. And as a church family, a lot of times I feel like it's like little child versus parent relationship in church. You know, them kids don't care if there's gas in the car. They don't care if the wheel bearing is going out or if you made the payment this month or you're not going to be able to make the payment or if it takes 2 hours to get to church or 30 minutes to get back. They just don't care. They don't think about it. They completely just ride with you. I mean, and they're okay with that. They don't know any better than to worry about it. But a lot of times, you know, here's the thing. They'll not always be that way. They grow up. They become aware of money and bills and hardships and things like that. And then it becomes their worry too. You know, there's a moment where that happens in a family and it makes you a little bit sad. When you see your kids concerned about your finances. And it's like, well, now they're going to have to worry about that forever now. You know, they're not just enjoying childhood. But it's the way God set things up. It's natural for it to be that way. And if it's not that way, it's not natural. And I feel like a lot of times we come to church and all the load is on one person or just a couple of people or whatever that bear the load. And everybody else is just here to see what's going on today, what we're going to learn today, what we're going to... And it's not about finances, and it's not about mowing the grass, and it's not about... No, it's about the spiritual matters of our church and our church family. You know, this matter of our, you know, the whole thing transpiring right now with the building and the land, and that's a lot of mental, you know, load to think about and orchestrate and hope everything. It's just like, it's like, you know, shooting the chutes, as it were, going down the rapids and you get one shot to hit that gap. And if you don't, it's disaster. So it's a lot of responsibility on one person. Well, you know, in the spiritual realm of things in our church, we can all bear that burden.
Yes. Amen.
You know, through prayer. Yes. And yeah, I mean, there's no, we can't all make the phone calls, but we can bear the burden.
Yes.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and then, you know, it's been on my mind. And it's a lot of times we don't communicate until a problem has already transpired. Until there's already this disaster now, and now it's just damage control and cleanup on aisle 12. And if we were more willing to share our burdens and just communicate, you know, I don't want to come to you and be like, okay, we got a problem. No, I can just, it's just things like this happen in casual conversation, just fellowshipping with each other. That's why that's important too. When you cluster yourself off and you just sit in the corner and just look at everybody and don't say a word, everything that's going on in your life is left up to the assumption of everyone else. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a little hint. It always goes to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
Everybody's always going to assume the worst. And it's sad to say, but it's your responsibility to let other people help you bear your burdens.
Right.
Know you.
Yes. We must. If we didn't communicate as a husband and wife, you know, our relationship would die. Why do you think that there's been 100 different things that's been come up with to rekindle something in a relationship, in a marriage or whatever? What do they always do? Like, what's a marriage retreat? What is that all about? Well, it gets you away from whatever's distracting you from each other. And then you just have to talk to each other.
Yep. Right.
And then if you know, good luck. Because some people, they don't communicate. You know, some people communicate excessively and exhaustively. But I'm going to tell you, I would rather err on the side of caution that way and learn to be more temperate as you go along than to just have my own life with my own friends and my own problems and my own solutions and problem solvers, and her just be hanging out there in the wind with her own problems and her own. God didn't put us together for it to be that way. He didn't put you together for it to be that way either. He didn't put this church together for it to be that way with us. You know, if we care about each other, we'll let each other in on some of the more, you know, delicate matters. There are things that are private. I understand that. And I'm not saying full disclosure is the only way. But at the same time, you know, nobody really likes to go to work. So knowing that you're having to go to work on Monday is not really, you know, me feeling sorry for you because you got to go back to work. No, we all do. That's not bearing a burden. We're just, you know, somewhat sympathetic towards each other. You know, it's hot. Okay. But no, I'm talking about things that, you know, your weaknesses. There's strong and there's weak. And there's times of weakness.
Yes.
You know, there's things that I've heard you say about the preacher that he shared with you that I never would have ever dreamed he would have done or said. But he's weak. It's a weak time.
Right.
And if you want people not to feel sorry for you, but to you know, earnestly intercede for you, they must know.
Yes.
They must know.
That's right.
And God does answer the prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer, availing much of the righteous man. Well, how's he going to fervently pray for you if there's no fervence there?
That's right.
It's just, well, you know, pray for Gary and, you know, help him in all of his problems. Amen. Well, that's kind of a very vague application, don't you think? Very insincere. But if I know how your heart is hurting, then I can hurt for you too, to God. Say, please help him. You know, relieve this for him. And it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Some are weak where they think they're strong. Some are strong where they think they're weak. Usually, you just don't get to self-label how or where you're strong or where you're weak.
Right.
I mean, there's things that this far into our relationship, I'm realizing that, man, there's no wonder that I've seen her respond to me in this unpleasant way for 20 years. It, you know, it's not her, it's me, you know. When someone pushes that button, every time they walk by, even if it's the way you say things, you know, and you get the same response every single time. You know, it's like somebody you see that's had, you know, 7 failed marriages. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it's him. Just maybe. You know? It just stands to reason, don't you think? Well, you know, that means I've got to be honest with myself. Instead of being like, man, you know, boy, this sure is a heavy cross to bear. I mean, everything works great until we get to this subject. We can't talk about this because she just goes right off the deep end. Well, maybe it's the way I talk about that particular thing. I'm just saying, I got to be honest with myself and own it if it's my fault. And then I got to fix it. You know, knowing, you know, I knew a guy one time that got caught in infidelity. And he confessed. And then he expected everybody to be okay with him because he fessed up. But it don't work that way. Just because you fess up don't mean the problem's solved. You know, just because, you know, I mean, it just don't fix it. You know, you got to do something about it. You got to, you know, there's things God requires of you in order to get the ball rolling for repair.
That's right.
And maybe that's one of your weak points. You know, there's things I don't have a problem at all saying, man, I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. And then there's other times where it's like, this is going to sting, sting, sting. And I got to make myself do it and humble myself and tell her, hey, you know I've said it 1,000 times, but I'm sorry again. Will you forgive me again? Try not to do it again. You know, weak. And if it wasn't for her being strong in that matter, It might be destruction, see? And think about the times or instances with other people that you've known in your own life where you've had to be the strong one. You know, or maybe you didn't realize you were strong, but they drew strength from your strength when they were weak. They come and told you about it later or something. You know, that's how God works. He doesn't ever, if it's of our own effort, then 9 times out of 10, man will claim it as his own. You know?
What does he say? Not by works, lest any man should boast. Well, why do you say that? Well, because that's what men tend to do. You know, if I can just... Why do you think marriage counselors charge so much by the hour? Because they think they fix problems. Ridiculous. They don't, by the way. The duty of the strong is not to sort out and eliminate the weak. Once again, not team A, not team B. By definition, when one faction establishes themselves as strong, even in their attempts to help the weak, there's an air of superiority that goes along with that. It's never about dominance within the brotherhood of Christ. It's not. It's we are, and He's our Father. That's how it is. Everyone has strengths and everyone has weaknesses. If we could get a hold of this reality, we could make some spiritual progress. You know, a lot of times we're impatiently, kind of like me passing Danny McFadden in the school bus this morning. I impatiently waited till he got to the straight stretch in front of Norm Hassel's before I could finally pass him, because he pulled out in front of me out of Canyon Road and I followed him all the way to Norm's. 46 miles an hour, that's all that little bus will do. You know, a lot of times that's how we are with the weak. We're just like, you know, we sure could get some things done around here if it wasn't for you or this. Or if you would, you know, we treat them like the kid that gets picked last for the kickball team.
Yeah.
Sincerely.
Yes,
we really
do.
And it don't. God ain't going to do nothing. Why do you think the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Because that's how they lived too. God said, not until you're done with this mess are we going to proceed any further. A lot of times I feel like we stay in the wilderness in a lot of different ways of our life because it's just, we're just in a, like a, what do they call that when the airplanes are circling the airport? Like a holding pattern of this imbalanced categorization of strong and weak. Christianity isn't a herding dog mentality life. That dog of ours, it's hilarious because, you know, she'll take all her toys if she's outside playing by herself and she'll put them all in a pile in the middle of the yard and she'll run around and around in circles around them. And you'll think, what's wrong with this dog? Something slipped or something's happened. But she's herding her toys. She's a Australian Shepherd. She's a herding dog. Maddie goes out and we jokingly call her Della's goat because... For whatever reason, because she's the littlest or whatever, but that dog will push her along and run around her and try to, it's just like a game for her. And so often, the strong feel like that's what they must do with the weak, or else, you know, they're just going to get run over in the road, I guess, or they're just going to be the destruction of everything around here.
Right.
And we are a stumbling block.
Yeah.
You may be strong in that matter, but you ain't doing no good. Because of how you're going about being strong. You know? The Bible says in Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Dissimulation is withholding how you really feel.
Yeah.
Did you know that? It's saying, oh, I love you and we're going to help you. I really wish they would, you know, get their act together, because if they would, we wouldn't be having this problem right now. It's just, you know, I guess we all got to stop and wait for you to catch up now. It's not, that's dissimulation. It's not love. It's feigned love. We got to have each other. There'll be a time when, if I'm the strongest in some matter that you've ever seen, that I will probably be weak in that arena, and you'll have to be strong for me. Same for you. There's things where you might be really struggling, and I need to be strong. We need to be paying attention to each other and realize when someone's struggling with something. Maybe it's something that we've always just known. They're strong. They're strong in that area, but not now. And if they're sharing like they're supposed to, we'll know they're struggling, and we can be that for them. Same for us. Swallow your pride. You know, being weak is not admittance of failure.
Mm-mm, that's right.
That's something that the world imposes upon people because nobody wants to be a loser, right? No. But that's a worldly concept. You know, wasn't it Elijah or was it Elisha that was under the tree and the ravens fed him? And
Elijah.
And he said, I'm the only one. I'm just going to sit under this tree till I die, because there ain't no point in proceeding any further. And God had to come to him in a moment of weakness and say, get up. It's okay. I got thousands more. Just like you preach Sunday night. God, look for God's people everywhere, because they're there. You know? They're there. And you'll get wrapped up in your own weakness and fail. And that's what the devil wants, see? You got to share it. We need each other. We're always going to need each other till we get to heaven. We're always going to need each other. Brother Kenny, talk about him all the time and what a blessing he is when he comes around. And he's just like a shot of B12 of encouragement when he's around in his own special brand and way. Yes, but he's been going through a season of weakness. Needs people to be strong for him. Even if it's just lifting him up to the Lord in prayer and just saying, make him strong.
Yes.
Make him strong. Keep the devil away from him while he's weak right now. You know, that's what we're for. That's what we're supposed to do for each other. Each other. And we don't do it. Not near like we should. All right, let's see here. I'm going to read another scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 and 15. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man. That's a whole other sermon right there. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That verse back in Romans said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You're never going to make, if you're making somebody else strong in not doing good, you're doing the wrong thing. You're helping the wrong, you're making a weakness more weak. All right. And then I got one more scripture that I'm going to read. And it's a little bit longer. Philippians 3. We're going to start in verse number 7. I'm going to read it. And then I got a few, just another thing to say, and I'll be done. I got enough time. Verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, Paul said, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, if we were to say on a scale of 1 to 10, he's probably the strongest Christian, right? The Apostle Paul. And be found in him, he said in verse 9, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He's saying, I'm not completed yet. I know I'm the one counseling y'all, but I struggle too. I'm not there yet. There's things that I still struggle with. Paul had his thorn in the flesh that everybody tries to imagine what it is. But imagine living the life Paul did and doing the things he did and being the person he was for so long, and then having to backtrack and backpedal and at the same time do something for God and plant those churches and do the mission work and preach and stand up against the... He had a lot to deal with. He had to be strong in a lot of areas that he didn't feel very strong in. So he said, I'm not complete yet. I'm not yet perfect. I've not already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. If you are in an area of your life where the Lord has helped you become complete, be thus minded. well, what you mean you're perfected in this, but you're supposed to be thus minded. What do you mean thus minded? Well, the verse before where he said in verse 13, I count myself not to have apprehended.
Right.
If you think that you finally figured it all out, you still haven't.
No.
Even Paul said that. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What rule? Pressing towards that mark. We should never get comfortable in where we think we are spiritually and where others might perceive that we are spiritually. Now, I'm not saying we resonate off of others' opinions of our spirituality to know where we are. The Holy Spirit will take care of that for you. But if you, we should always be pressing for more. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights, gaining every day, right? Yeah, well, that's what the songwriter said. He got this. Should never feel comfortable. If you get comfortable, you're going to sit down. You ever read Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah.
Remember when he sat down by the spring and he was just so tired?
Yeah.
And he had to just sleep. And he slept and he woke up refreshed and took off and got way down the road and realized that his scroll was gone. And he'd lost it while he sat down and got comfortable. And he had to go back and get it. And it was a long, hard trip back and then had to backtrack. He lost ground. He lost time. He had struggles that he wouldn't have had if he'd have just kept pressing on. Don't get comfortable. Strong individuals will many times embrace their lot in life because it works out real good for them to always be being helped by, you know, I said it's all wrong. Weak people will many times. I don't know what's going on. I can't read. Strong individuals will become entitled and bitter about their quote unquote sacrifice.
Yeah.
It'll become their cross to bear, you know. And it's a way for the devil to let you, it's a way into your mind and you'll grow bitter for having had to been the burden bearer for so long. I've seen families where the husband or the wife, one or the other, will literally grow cold and indifferent and it'll be the end of the marriage because they feel like they have been the ones to have to do everything. And he just gets to do whatever he wants to do and I'm the one having to do everything or vice versa. No, you know, you should be. And people who tend to be weak will many times embrace their lot in life because it works out real good for them to always be being helped by the strong.
Yeah.
You know, if you are made aware by the Holy Spirit that I'm weak in this matter, then it's your duty to God to become strong in that area. It's a you know, if you find a hole in the fence, what are you going to do? You're going to fix the hole in the fence or else your stock's going to get out. And it's the same way with this matter. If the Holy Spirit reveals to you something in that you're weak in, it's Him saying, I want you to work on this. You're going to have to be strong in this matter for somebody else down the road someday. You need to work on that. We need each other. We're always going to need each other. We got to love each other the right way and be honest with each other. Share your burdens with one another and be able to do what God's purpose us to do while we're here. Amen.